And some of the points that he used as well, I believe that are timely for each and every one of us here this morning, amen, to be challenged of the Lord, to be challenged not to stay where you're at right now, but to be challenged to continue to grow in the Lord, amen. So this morning, the title to the message is The Right People, amen. You need the right people in your life. As I was in prayer with the Lord today, you know, at the real end, I get the title and I send it to Janie with the scriptures that I'm going to be using for the day. And we need the right people in our lives. It's so important. Back then, it really didn't matter. Amen. Half the time, you were wasting your time with the wrong people, and then you were with the right people. But now we're living in real critical times that it's very important that you be with the right people within your life. It's important to have the right people in your life right now. And I believe one of the reasons why many don't get to that place that the Lord wants them at, it's because they're not bad people. They're not bad people. And I just really believe reasons people, Christians, don't get to answering the call of God, it's not because they're bad people. It's just they never surround themselves with the right people. So you're giving advice, taking advice. Is it kingdom advice? Is it advice that's going to make a difference in your life, through your life? For God can continue to grow your life, my life, the works he's doing right now through the Great Lakes region, the work he's doing internationally all around the world. Amen. So we really got to think here this day, what people do we have around our lives right now? Because we all need somebody. We all need somebody. So as you look at the picture there, we see the right people. And when Jesus was walking the earth, amen, it almost looked like he picked the wrong 12, amen, because they were just ordinary men, scripture tells us, uneducated ordinary men. And sometimes when Jesus chooses us to serve him, we can say, you got the wrong person. When the call came upon my life in prison, he had the wrong person. And then I would go to a church coming out of prison there in Salinas, California. And the same feeling I had behind prison bars was the same one I had in the church, because it was the same God that gave me a visitation in prison of what was to come. I just thought he had the wrong person, because of where my life was at that current time when he came knocking. And Jesus just picked 12. He could have picked 10,000 disciples, smart ones. He could have picked the Sadducees, the Pharisees. But he chose 12 simple men, amen. And just by these 12 men that he chose, amen, were able to change the world, allows us to be here this day. The 12 right men that needed somebody perfect in their lives. And not one of us here this morning is perfect. We're far from perfect. It's his grace and his mercy why we find ourselves here this morning viewing online. And if 12 could change the world, we're just looking for a few good men, good women in this church. I believe we could change the city of Milwaukee. Amen. I mean, the odds are in our favor. Amen. But too many times we believe the odds are against us. When we look at things in the natural, it's real easy to chalk up. The odds weigh very heavy against us in making it, in staying alive, in prospering in the things of the Lord. And I want to give you a few things here this morning, amen, to compel you, amen, to go forward in your walk with the Lord, amen? As we go to the book of Judges here this day, now let's go to Amos. Just a short verse for thought. Amen. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Right now, we're in a series right now of church involvement, the importance of getting involved in the church, not just getting saved in the church, but getting involved in the church so that you can grow and be one of those many parts that make up the body of Christ, one of those instruments that he can work in and through and reaching those that are still lost and bound. And I believe each and every one of us here this day got to look into our lives, and we got to agree with the call of God upon our lives. If we think we're going to fulfill, there's got to be agreement within your spirit that says, I'm not only going to go to church, but I'm going to be about my Father's business in the church. I want to become that man, that woman, that young adult that God has stirred. Amen. I believe everyone here has been touched of the presence of the Lord, the stirring of hope, the stirring of your faith. Amen. That he's knocking and he wants to use your life. He wants to use your life. And too many times we reach a place within our lives because of all the mistakes we have made that there's just no way that God could successfully use our broken lives. We draw a conclusion that there's just no way we can answer the call of God. And I get it because I was there. But quickly, the Lord started doing a work within my life. Quickly, in the natural, my natural ability, I knew God was doing something. The first service I went to, I knew God was at work already within my life. I didn't know who he was, but he knew who I was. He knew the gifts he had placed within my life. He was sure that he had made the right decision. And here this day, we got to come to a place in our life and agreeing with the plan of God. If you're going to make those changes, those shifts, so that you can be a man, a woman, a young adult here this day that says, I agree that I am going to answer the call of God within my life. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. I'm going to share a few verses here, but I'm not going to stay on the verses. I'm going to give points. A few verses here. In the book of Judges, chapter 7, verse 3, this is when the Lord was calling to Gideon. And the word reads, therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. So if you do the math, 22 and 10, there was 32,000 Israelites, soldiers. And the call went out from Gideon, hearing of God. He said, if any of you all are timid or afraid, this is your time to leave and go home. I know that when we were in the world, at least we claimed that we weren't timid or afraid. Amen? We were willing to die in bondage. But God had a plan for each and every one of our lives. God had a plan for the world. Amen? And using a people, a broken people like you and I, that knows what it is to be out there, that knows what it is to be stuck, that knows what it is to go without. And that's why there's streets after the service today, no matter what the digit is. streets are still flowing out there. The enemy's still at work right now. He don't care what the temperature is either. And I believe we have a people here that in the world didn't care what the temperature was. And even in the Lord don't really care what the temperature is, because it's the SOS in the salvation of souls. Amen? So here we find out that the Israelites had 32,000 people. Amen? Let's go to the count of the enemy, the kings that allied together and came together in Judges 7:12. And the Bible reads, the armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore. Too many to count. Couldn't even count the camels. Amen? Just the camels alone were like sand on a seashore. It was a vast army that could not be counted coming against 32,000 Israelites with God on their side. And even at 32,000, to a count that can't be counted, the odds were totally against them from winning that battle. But God wanted to make clear that He was the God of Israel. And I believe God is wanting to make very clear to you and I, those viewing online here this day, that He is our God, and no matter what the odds that you are facing right now, that He is able to fight the battle that's taking place within your life. So here, the odds were totally against them at 32,000 versus a number that could not even be counted. So in Judges 7:2, the Lord speaks to Gideon and said, I don't like those odds. We have too many. See, the way God views something is not the way we view it. As I read 32,000 verses, a count that can't be counted, that alone in our natural thinking, in our logic, says there's no way I can have victory in my life today. Because I believe some are facing those kind of odds right now. And God's wanting to clear things up here this morning and letting us know that He is with us. That He is with us. We're not fighting this battle alone. But it's so important that we got the right people around our lives that we're able to grow from, to teach from. Amen. It's important that we got the right people in our lives. It's important who you hang out with. But Pastor, that's my cousin. It doesn't matter. You got to get back at your cousin later on. You got to strengthen up. You got to get with the right people. God has a plan for your cousin. You may not be the one that's going to reach your cousin. That's why you got to hang out with the right people to take the right people to your cousin. But too many times you want to hang out all day, watch a Green Bay game with everything but the Lord taking place in the house. And the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites, he was saying, my people, not talking about the enemy, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. So in Judges 7:8, I'm not going to break down the story. It's a long story. The number dwindles down to 300. Amen? 300 men that were chosen of the Lord and ready to fight. With the odds now up 300 versus an army that couldn't be counted. Amen? I have a question here this morning. Is the direction you're going accomplishing God's will? You can be at the right place, which is here this morning, viewing online, for those with a good cause to be viewing online. You can be at the right place, with a distracted mind, going the wrong way. How many have ever been at the right place, still going the wrong way in your mind? We can be at the right place here in the presence of the Lord and still be distracted within our thinking because of what's taking place beyond these walls, instead of being focused on what's taking place within these walls, in the room, in the presence of the Lord, here this beautiful morning. What else are you doing besides coming to church on Sunday? Because from your salvation, in order for there to be transformation, you got to get involved in the church. And it will come with a lot of ups and downs, but it'll make you into that man of God, into that woman of God, into that young adult. And being able to answer the call no matter what the past life is about. It's so important that you get involved in the church. No involvement is religion. Many churches gathering right now as I speak. Some have a lot more people than we do. But we just need a few solid people right now. Amen. Are in churches right now not being challenged, hearing the word and going back to the same way of doing things until next Sunday. When God has called us, amen, to be his body, that he is the head of, there's a work that God wants to do through each and every one of our lives. But if we don't get involved, we can't be one of those parts of his body. And he has given us all gifts and talents. Certain things the scripture says that we're good at. And here now we're in a season in our church where men and women and young adults are being lined up according to their gifting, their power spot. Amen? It's so important right now that we get involved. I would have never gotten high once if I didn't get involved with the wrong set of friends. I had to get involved in order for the enemy to use my life, work through my life. I had to get involved. And the more I got involved in the work of the enemy, amen, the more I got involved. And the more I got involved. What started on a Friday night now was 24/7. In bondage, in position to be used of the enemy. Distractions was said. Distractions can lead us from opportunities, God opportunities. Distractions can mislead your life and my life from great opportunities that are straight from God. Are the distractions, trials that you are going through right now making you stronger or weaker? Because I've had a lot of them and I got some right now. And I thank the Lord that I got involved, because everything I've gone through has made me stronger, because I got involved with the church the day I got saved. I was involved, not knowing any of the positions of the ministries. It was foreign to me. But I had nothing to lose, so I got involved. And little by little, but surely, my life started to change by getting involved what the church was doing. By making all the mighty men of valor, all the, till this day, 25 years later, I have not missed one. And I weren't under surgeries and all kinds of stuff. I never missed one. Am I bragging? No. I'm just bragging about what God is able to do in a man's life, woman's life, young adult's life, when you get involved with the body of Christ, when you get involved with the church. It's the process that we all got to go through. But too many times it's easier to complain in the church than it is to make a difference in the church. If you're getting stronger through all that you're going through, don't fight it. Too many times we fight the process of God. It's not my process, it's God's process. And as tough as I am, if it was my process, it would be much easier. But God knows what He has to do in each and every one of our lives here this morning, in order to cross us over in answering the call. And being a man, a woman, a young adult, carrying His anointing, carrying His word. Being one of those men, those women, young adults that I've been talking about that you got to be careful to hang out with. But too many times it's easier to gravitate towards men, women, and young adults that are in a lesser bracket, so to speak. So when you're there, you're in charge. You're in charge of the situation, but many find it hard to hang out with those big brothers, big sisters, because then your life's got to go to another level in hanging out with a bigger brother and sister. I know I got a special guest here right now, but I always tell stories of Salinas, amen? And I remember the first time Pastor Herb, he had his white car, it was a white car. Pastor Nick got after he had it for a long time. And I was at a job site, and he was with me on the job site. And he told me, my car don't want gas, go put gas in it, right? I'm a real young convert at this time, real young convert. And I was so nervous just to sit in the driver's seat where he sat. Things that took place in my life at a very, very, very early walk with the Lord as a brand new convert. And it was the first time of 1,000 times that I would drive his vehicle. But I would sit up in the street and I would, you know, complete stops and trying to be so careful. When I jump in my car, I was flying all over the place. But I got involved with the church all the time. I was always willing to work. Always willing to be the first one there and the last one to leave, always. Because that was the exampleship set before me. And I still carry that example 25 years later. It wasn't just something of Salinas, but it's an example of Milwaukee. And there's great leaders right now that I'm very proud of, amen, that are following the exampleship of servanthood, of getting involved in the church. In answering the call of God. The opportunities in our church are so great right now. They're greater than they've ever been. We have an order now, a leadership, well-grounded, founded leadership, beautiful properties, a school that I'll be there right after the service is over that we're working on right now, where we're just a couple of months now from opening up a big business, not a little one. We already have a lot of little businesses and a big business. Where's he at? But it's a great time to get involved right now. A great time to get involved right now. For you to grow in answering the call of God. There's many that are making it right now in the church. I have here in my notes, how many have ever messed up a God opportunity by making a bad decision? We've all done it. But the thing is, are you learning from it? Are you still advancing in the things of God? Are you still going from glory to glory? Is your life on fire for the Lord right now? I want to let you know, if you have messed up a God opportunity by making a bad decision, that God still has plenty of grace opportunities for your life. We serve a big God. So I never give up on nobody, because sometimes years later they come back ready. And they've already been trained and equipped. I know why the Lord loves the backslider. Today I really know. Back then I didn't know it. Backsliders are trained and equipped. And God's able to change any man's life, any woman's life, young adult's life. So when I see them enter the church, we welcome the backslider. We're happy to have them. But the whole time their mind's been saying, what are they going to say? What are they going to say when we have a leadership that welcomes the backslider here this day? Because the Lord is married to the backslider. He loves you. He loves you. Even if you have messed up a God opportunity. God has a way of bringing you to a place within your life where Scripture, His Word, will have to be more than just known or memorized, but applied. I mean, it's good to know the Word of the Lord. I don't have many memorized, but when I start preaching, all kinds of them come out. I don't have that good memory bank, amen. A lot of the young adults have fresh minds. And it's good to memorize God's Word, memorize Scriptures. It's a good thing. But in the time and age that we're living in right now, are you just knowing God's Word? Or is it now time to put God's Word to work? Or it's not something you just know, but now it's something you got to do. Faith is shown best in the decisions that we make. I want to add a word to faith there. Pressure faith. Pressure faith is shown best in the decisions that we make. As a shepherd, I'm always looking, no matter where I'm at. I work off reflections, everything, mirrors. Not just to catch what's wrong, but to catch what's good, to catch someone going to the next level. So I'm always very observant at all times, down to the little things. Every time a leader goes by, I'm checking him or her out. I'm looking at the character. Are they in character? Are they out of character? They got a beautiful smile, but are they out of character? So it's very important to know that pressure faith is shown best in decisions that we make. That I may not be able to know exactly where you're at, but when you're under pressure, I know what's in your life. I know where you're at. Based on the decisions you made from the pressure faith upon your life right now. What's taking place in here will come out. My pastor always said, it's got to come out. I used to rebuke people hard. He says, it's got to come out. Simple words of great wisdom. I was letting two girls, we were in the rehab home there with my wife. And two girls took out one night, and our door in the back there, it would squeak loud. And I left it like that, because I knew when anyone entered or left. And one morning we were having breakfast, and all of a sudden I was like, people had come in and out the door, and the door wasn't squeaky no more. I said, that door squeaks loud, like the, what's the name of the house of the not the ones that had all the, where the door would open. It was a movie, a cartoon. But so I said, man, the door got healed, man. The hinges got healed. And then a couple days later, one of the two girls came to me crying and crying and crying that they had taken off with guys and drank and did all that stuff. And the other one stayed denying it. Man, and they had a lot of months with us already. Man, I said, both of you guys, get your stuff. And that says, but what does it have to do with the door not squeaking? Our pulpit was an ironing board. Amen. And I had an anointing oil. Just, I always had one close. They used the anointing oil on the hinges of the door. And guess what? The anointing works. It's biblical. Is any one of you sick amongst them? Pray for them. Put the oil on them. These girls had enough faith to put the oil on the hinges, but not on their life. I was upset in what they did, but I was more upset what they did with the anointing. See, the gifts within your life and my life are irrevocable, the Bible says. And I believe the reason the Lord leaves them and don't take them is because he knows you'll be back. So he leaves you with the gifts. But the anointing, he says, that's mine. That door stayed healed. It never squeaked again as long as we were there. And pastor would always cruise up the alley right there in the little driveway, amen? He would come real slow, and we would talk in the morning. But this day, I was hot. There was all kinds of bags outside the door. And he pulled in. He said, hey, pasa, what's going on? Oh, pastor, no, man, I don't even want to talk about it. And I said, this sister and this sister, somebody might know him here, so I'm going to say, I'm just leave it at that. So I can't believe, man, they did this and this and this. And so what's going on? Why are their bags outside? I'm kicking them out, pastor. How dare them do? And they used my anointing oil on the hinges. I mean, that was like blasphemy right there. I mean, unpardonable sin. Because I was strict. See how many months they got? I said, man, they've been here a long time, but they got over half a year, pastor. He says, so you're kicking them out? Oh, yeah, they're already kicked out, pastor. Ain't nothing going to reverse that. It's a done deal. Then he goes, go get those bags and put them in the house. Okay, pastor. Because anything he said, I did it. He says, this is what I want you to do. We ate together breakfast, lunch, and dinner. What they ate, we ate. He says, I want you to eat with them and everything and blow them off. Don't talk to them at all. I said, I can do that one, pastor. I like that one better than putting their stuff back in the home. And by the third, fourth day, they were both crying and crying and hugging me. And we're sorry, we're sorry. And one of those girls is what helped us when we came to Milwaukee. You see, the call of God upon your life, we will make mistakes. But sometimes we need to hang out with the right people at the right place to make the right decisions, even if we've made a few wrong decisions. Because the anointing of God, if it's able to heal hinges, it's able to heal your life. It's able to empower your life. No matter what you've done, God's love and grace and mercy is so powerful. And as the years go by, I continue to find out how forgiving he really is. and how much he really loves us. Because I've seen a lot of things take place over the 25 years, and the grace of God just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's amazing how we love options. The world has many options that look very, very promising. We love options. But the church loves options also. Now you can stay home and still catch the service. Amen? Now you can go to the streets you want. You don't have to go. You can get involved. You don't have to get involved. Or you only can do this ministry, but that ministry. There's options in the church also. And right now all around the world, there's options in the church where ministers and denominations are making the people feel as comfortable as possible in their sin. Medicating their sin. When the blood of Jesus has been shed for our victory. There's no such thing as being comfortable in sin. It starts off like that, but it don't end like that. And Jesus right now is here saying, I purchased you. I paid the price in full for you. Not for half of your life. Not to make this option, but I am the only option. He's the ultimate atonement. The one-time atonement. His name is Jesus. Answering the call of God without ever making big decisions. There's sometimes we play it really safe in the church. I preached months ago that I was with a girl that I was not supposed to be with. Amen. And God came upon my life, and I had to make a decision to let her go. It was a big decision. Because the way I saw it and she saw it, everything was going great. I'm a very brand new convert. And I let her go, and now I have my beautiful wife that I'm married to now for 24 years. But to get what God had for my life, I had to let go to what I thought was right. At a very young part of my walk with the Lord, the presence of the Lord came upon me. She was not the one. And even though I was a young convert, I was involved in the church, and it didn't fit. Pastor Herb didn't tell me, I want you to leave that girl. She ain't the one. But he did say when I brought Marlene into the office, now this is the one. Why? She was involved in the church. See, there's some things that fit and some things that just don't fit. It was a big decision I had to make. The second, I had to leave a business. It was a big decision. I worked hard to finally get to the place to make the good money. And the call of God came to come to Milwaukee. I said, you got it, Pastor. When I leave, he goes, tomorrow morning. You got it, Pastor. Come back for your family in 2 weeks. Story never changed because it's the truth. And the next one I had, it was leaving Salinas, California, which got me to a place of being so involved that self was dealt with. You see, when you get involved in the churches for others, and you get to a practice of getting beyond yourself. See, many Christians never get beyond their self because self is powerful when there's options. Options to be made whether they're lined up with Christ or not lined up with Christ. Many options today that a man or a woman, a young adult can make in the church. Many options. And I believe some are playing safe. I thank the Lord for our leadership that has stepped out that are all in. Because that's the way our ministry was raised up. In the early of our ministry, there was men and women, young adults that were all in. And that is the foundation, the legacy of our ministry. That is why it's all around the world right now. Bases coming up all over the place. That is why you and I are here this morning, because there was a vision given to our founders that men ran with, married couples ran with, and believed with all their life, and got totally involved with answering the call of God upon their life. I believe somebody here needs to make a big decision. If you want to get to the place of answering the call of God, if you want to become the next man up, the next woman up, next young adult, I believe the Lord is stirring somebody's heart just as He did mine 25 years ago. It's time that you got to make that big step, that big decision, that you're going to have to leave something that's good. Not something illegal, but something that's good. And I believe there's some that got to leave something that's illegal. But you knew that walking in. But for those that are doing good and in obedience, God is asking for something good from your life so that He can give you something greater in your life. In answering the call of God, and then there's those that still have options and those that have decided. Some of you are just still, choosing, picking, choosing. I always used to say, this ain't Burger King. But you need to make a decision here this day in the direction your life is going. You need to make a decision. Those that still have options and those that have decided. You don't have to be in the church team. At the very beginning, I made a decision that I wouldn't miss a service. And for the 6 years there in Salinas, I never missed one. It wasn't that I didn't get sick. I went sick. I went with poison. I went with every tooth out through here. I never missed a service because I decided this was the call upon my life. Even as a very young convert, I got wired in the church. It was like being on drugs. I got hooked on Jesus, but He changed my life. He forgave my life. He cleansed my life because He had a purpose for my life. He has a purpose for your life here this morning. The same God that did it for me is here for you this day. But you're going to have to make a decision in walking with the Lord. It's not going to come any other way. It's got to come from you. You can't be here and there. You got to make decisions to get there. All of us are here this morning. There was a time I was in Salinas. Salinas was my here. I became a minister in answering the call to take a city which I thought was in Vancouver, Canada. Lawyers and everything, we were already going that way. But then a window opened up here in Milwaukee, amen, where everything that I was trained to do and everything, as young as I was, and I always said I wasn't ready. Me and my wife were not ready when we got here. I was taking guys to the backyard for years. Wasn't ready, but God was. God was. All the odds were against us not making it. Three pastors had already failed miserably within this city. But I stuck to what I learned in the rehab of praying and getting with God. The relationship has grown. It continues to grow today. It continues to grow. You can't be here and there. You got to make a decision to get there. And I believe within all of our hearts, you have good hearts created by God. You want to get there. You want to answer the call of God. But it just don't happen. You can't be at two places at one time. You're going to have to make wise decisions. Wise decisions in who you hang out with. if you're going to get there. And one of the greatest vehicles in getting there is the vehicle of the church, which is the body of Christ. The vehicle God uses in saving the lost and the bound. The enemy used my life to curse lives and to be cursed. Now the Lord is using my life to be blessed, to bless others. How many want to get there? How many want to get to the place that God has called for you to get to? Amen. Let's give a faith clap offering to the Lord right now. I put here, too many wanting to answer the call of God without making the necessary decisions in getting there. Your right decisions are not only for you. See, when our life is just based on self, us, we'll usually always make the wrong decisions. If we're doing what we want to do. But when you make the right decisions, they're not only for you, but for others in making the right decisions as well. But when you can't get past self, you will usually end up the rest of your life making wrong decisions. They might be right decisions based on the operation of the world, but are they right decisions based on the call of God upon your life? Because things that are legal, things that are good that the world has to offer, can remove one from answering the call of God. Your right decisions are not only for you, but for others in making the right decisions as well. Who do you know right now that you wish could be making the right decisions, not now, but right now? Like, Pastor, get the anointing oil out. That's me. It's not me, but it's for them. I got some squeaky hinges at the house. Can I borrow your anointing oil? No, you can't. I was one of those virgins that had the oil. No, the other ones got caught slipping and give me something. You love somebody and you really want to make a difference and you want to show them that they don't have to remain where they're at, that they can change, that God's able. But are you making the right decisions to allow them to follow you because you're making the right decisions in answering the call of God? And too many times we expect a lot from people. We call them stubborn, knuckleheads, cabezudos. But the truth is, we're not being that model. We're not being that example in showing them the way out. As the worship team makes their way, please. Just a lot of points today, challenging points of truth. That's got to take place in your life if you want to do it God's way. I put here, we're going to finish strong this year of 2022. Been here a lot of years now, and I don't think I ever said we're going to finish the year strong. We all start talking about the next new year. This is going to be the best one. We're going to finish strong this year, I put here. In 2022, things are lined up right now. Things are going in the right direction right now. We got the right men, the right women around me right now. I feel good. I feel good right now. To have our best year ever is not a cliche. To have our best year ever in 2023. But my question is, will you be one that has decided to be all in? You got to make a decision here this day. The Lord loves you. But He gives us all that to make our own decisions. He don't force us to love Him. He gives us the freedom of choice and all the options. That day, the Israelites won the battle. Or should I say, God won the battle for them. The Bible says that they all got frantic and they started killing one another. Because the Lord had placed a fear in their life that the odds were totally against them from winning the battle with the Israelites that day. And God told Gideon, "You want more proof that I am going to fight this battle? I want you to get, I forget the brother's name, and I want you to go and sneak up on the camp. And I want you to hear what they're saying. The ones that you can't count. The ones that have you outnumbered." And he heard one of the men telling the other man that he had a dream that God was with Gideon and that they were going to be defeated, that it was like a basket was going to roll down on them. And Gideon and his sidekick were listening, and they ran back up the hill because he got a word given to the Lord, and then he got a word from the enemy themselves. And a lot of times we feel that we are the ones at our disadvantage when the word of the Lord says there's more of us than there is of them. And a lot of times, because we stay in the natural and we don't grow and we don't get involved in the church, we say 2 + 2 = 4. And because we don't get involved, we stay in the natural mode. And we never get to discern spiritually. Because everything starts in the spirit realm, and then there's a manifestation of it. It all starts with a thought, and then there's an action that follows. And here this day, God is saying, "I'm with you as I was with Gideon." And the Bible says that the enemy started going frantic with their swords, killing one another. And then that they took off running, and the ones that took off running, the two kings, they came back with their heads. That day, God won the battle for them. And I really believe with all my heart, God is wanting to win a battle for you here this day. He's wanting to win a battle for you right now. A battle that you just got to believe. A battle that you just got to hear the word. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Hear what God is saying to your situation here this day. Gideon was nobody, but he had God on his side. He had the word of God spoken to him. And he even got the proof from the enemy. It was the enemy that was in fear. So right now, whatever the song is, love, I want us to stand in power, in word, in spirit. And I want the word of the Lord, the truth of the Lord, to set you free here this day. The Bible says that the truth will set you free, free indeed. Any man, any woman, any young adult, any situation. The God factor, God of the hills and the valley, is here this day. And He wants to do the miraculous. He don't want to do what you can do. He want to do what He can do. That's what He's wanting to do right now. And all you got to do is let Him. All you got to do is let Him. All you got to do is let Him. Oh, shata yaraba sita rabakoya. The word of God, the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. Oh, shata yaraba kota rabasiya. The word of God. the Word of God. It has gone forth to accomplish what He sent it forth to do. The Word of God will not return back void to the Lord, for it is His word, His promises for your life and for my life. God is in the house here this day. I'm going to open up the altars. I'm going to open up the altars here this day. This is one of those opportunities of grace and mercy. Don't think whether you deserve it or not. It's an opportunity of grace from God, and God can do whatever He wants to do, whether you deserve it or not. He's bigger than your situation. He's bigger than your bad decisions. Surrender to the call of God. Surrender to the call of God. You don't have to understand if you're being stirred within your heart. Just receive it right now. Just receive it. He'll take you step by step. And there's things that we got to do. But I believe there's something He wants to do right now. Something that we just got to surrender to Him this morning.
I give you all of me.
He wants all of you here this day. We serve a jealous God. He wants all of you here this day. Can go the right way.
I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. I surrender all to you.
Bring all the chiquitos. You and God.
I surrender all to you.
If He's been talking to you,
everything
answer Him. Answer Him.
To you.
And you can do it from your heart.
I
answer Him.
All to you.
Receive the grace opportunity of the Lord here
everything
this day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.